Support local journalism and enjoy full access to the Green Gazette digital edition with a print subscription. Subscribe today at thegazette.com/subscribe.
Welcome to the Pitting Combination Podcast. I'm KJ Pilcher of the Gazette alongside my colleague and Hall of Famer Dick Briggs, ready to discuss high school wrestling action. We'll talk a little bit about the results from last weekend and highlight a couple tournaments coming up this weekend. Quickly today, January 14th, 2026. Briggsy, we are rolling in the high school season, aren't we?
Yeah, and we're 1 month out from Valentine's Day. So get your flowers ordered.
Flowers, chocolates. Pick out a good place to have dinner, right?
Right.
For me, it's probably getting lost for a day so my wife can be my wife Chris can be free of putting up with me for 24 hours. That's my gift to her.
So generous.
Yeah. So, you know, our first real big full weekend after the new year, after the holiday break, this last weekend, big tournament out at Benton Community with the Bobcat Eckenrod Invitational out there. Don Bosco was a part of that. We'll discuss that. I was at the Linmar Duels. First time I've been out there in a long time. Enjoyed that and saw competition out there with Linmar, Western Dubuque, Mount Vernon, Clear Creek Amana, Xavier among the teams there. And one special guest out there that I'll talk a little bit about later. Ottumwa had a big tournament as well as Highland. We'll touch on that as well as the Anamosa. The Blue Raiders had a girls tournament this weekend. But, you know, the Eckenrod, that's kind of the highlight, I think, this weekend, at least in our area, our neck of the woods. And, a heck of a field there in Van Horn, wasn't there?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Some good teams, Bosco, Dallas Center Grimes, Indy. Of course, Williamsburg is going to be there, West Delaware, Waukee Northwest, all those teams that are strong competitors.
Yep, and it was Don Bosco. Very strong performance from the Dons. Dallas Center Grimes was second, but it was about a 51-point difference between the two teams. Don Bosco, I think, had five champs. I think this round, maybe seven in the finals. Does that sound about?
I think seven champs. I don't think they lost
seven champs. I knew seven was in there somewhere.
Yeah, they didn't lose in the finals. So huge tournament.
Just kind of looking with how that kind of played out. You know, they were dominant. We mentioned their win over Dallas Center Grimes, who has really climbed the 3A ladder and one of those top three or four teams, trophy contender there. Seven champs overall for Don Bosco, who also had duels against Creighton Prep and Dowling last night and won both of those. I think it was 45-30 over Dowling, one of the top teams in 3A. So they're number two in 3A. Okay.
And I think Creighton Prep's number one over in Nebraska.
Yeah, so two big dual wins to go along with that tournament title. You know, the Dons, we knew they were going to be, dominant again. But is this kind of solidifying it a little bit with what they've done here, really kind of shown this team is probably going to be unstoppable, especially in a month from now?
Yeah, I think they're going to maybe break records on the most points scored at the state tournament. So, I mean, they have a chance to do that, I would think.
And just kind of going down the list, they've got titles from Caden Belinsky at 113, Hendricks and Hayden Schwab at 120 and 126. Dawson Youngblood, the Iowa commit at 144, won a title as well. Ethan Christopher at 175. And then Kyler Salas at 215 with a championship there. So
KG, I think you missed Ty Martin at 106 also.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. So there's their
side. Yes, I did. Yeah. See, that's what happens when I'm not counting on my fingers.
Well, you need two hands. You can't.
Yeah, count. Right? Exactly.
See.
So just an outstanding performance there. Want to highlight a couple other performances. Brady Patterson, the hometown kid for Benton, he won the 150-pound title, scored a takedown in the final minute to beat Independence's Cam Kramer 10-7 in the finals. Patterson now 15-2 overall. West Delaware's Jared Engel won at 132. He recently just dropped down from 138 to 132 and then came away with a title there. Anamosa's Hudson Scranton won at 157. He's putting together a really strong season. I believe he was a state semifinalist last year. And I think his only loss might be to Mikey Ryan in the finals of the Mount Vernon tournament. He's had a really good year. And the other one that really stands out, Bricks Collins from West Liberty. I know you would like that as well, kind of an adopted family member kind of to the show because of that name. But Bricks Collins, he won the 165-pound title. And the thing that kind of stands out to that, he beat Christopher Meyer in the final, Meyer from Independence. Ranked foe, both of them are ranked, but Collins avenged the loss to Meyer in the opening weekend of the season at the Independence Cliff Keen tournament. So Collins ends up avenging a loss in the finals to win at Benton Community. So really good showing there by the teams. One other interesting, Kellen Wegner of Dallas Center Grimes. He, I know he's not an area kid, but he ends up winning the title there at 190, and he had to beat Braylon Bieber of Independence and Aiden Antonelli of Anamosa, both two really good 90-pounders here in Eastern Iowa, defeated both of them to win the 190-pound title and was part of Dallas Center Grimes' performance where they finished second to Don Bosco. So good showing there for him.
One thing I like about the Eckenrod is they run five mats, so they can move along pretty good. The first, they start out the day with the junior varsity wrestlers wrestling. So what I like about that is teams get to travel together, right, which you don't usually get to do. A lot of times you have your junior varsity going one direction and your varsity another. So that's kind of neat there.
Then we mentioned Don Bosco went on to beat Dowling and Creighton Prep in that neat little triangular last night as well. I just want to talk a little bit about the Linmar Lions duels. You know, Linmar's a team that's kind of – It's an interesting team because I think there's a lot of expectations there year in and year out, except they just maybe haven't had that balance all the way across the board because they haven't really had their full lineup in yet. And I think you're starting to see that take shape. And Linmar's jumped all the way to ninth now in the Iowa High School Athletic Association poll. They went 5-0 this weekend, and that was coming off a win against Western Dubuque, which had been up as high as sixth in the dual rankings. So Linmar kind of hitting its stride a little bit at this point of the season. They, like I said, they went 5-0 and won pretty much handily throughout the weekend there, beating, Western. It's kind of hard because what they do is they have a pool, so it's hard to say who they beat, like, for the title, really, because they have a pool, and then it's pool A, number one, versus pool A, number two, or pool B, number two, and then pool A, number two, versus pool B, number one, and then they switch, so they end up beating both teams from the other pool, and the other three teams ended up tying for second, pretty much. But Linmar was dominant throughout. They beat Clear Creek Amana 51-23. They beat Xavier 51-23 as well. Linmar beat Waterloo. Now, I'll talk a little bit about it in a second, but that's Waterloo, Illinois, 64-16. Then in the Crawfords, 54-20. And they beat Western Dubuque 62-12. So a pretty dominant performance there from Linmar. Clear Creek had a pretty good day out there. They had a win over Western Dubuque 39-28. They beat Xavier 35-34, getting a pin at heavyweight in the last match to win that one. Beat Waterloo pretty handily, but Clear Creek Amana showed, you know, they're right there with some of the better teams. Mount Vernon beat them 40-28. And Western Dubuque beat Mount Vernon earlier in the day, 32-29. So some good matches there. Linmar, I did a little bit of a feature on Philip Jacobs. He's their returning medalist. He's been a kind of a team-first guy in an individual sport. And, of course, he's moving up to 190 for the team, because now they've got Barrett Muras back. He's part of that. He's part of a small group that hadn't really wrestled before the break and now really solidifying the lineup. So Jacobs is moving to 190 to kind of make room, and Muras is sliding in at 175. They're still looking for Noah Hawk Irwin to kind of join in at 165 too. So they still have another piece of the puzzle to slide in. But Linmar starting to get stronger as we're heading to the home stretch.
And I think some of these, I'm going to call them second level teams. When we get to the state duels and the region and the qualifiers to the duels, you might see some upsets there. Some of the second tier teams upsetting some of the first tier teams. We'll wait and see on that. So, but you know, you mentioned that with Linmar, Western Dubuque, CCA, you know, some right. of those teams that are at this tournament. That could do that, at least on 3A.
So I made a mention of Waterloo, right? Waterloo High School, they actually have the same color scheme as Waterloo East, orange and black, but they're the Bulldogs instead of the Trojans. So they made their first appearance at the Linmar Duels. It's the first time they actually ever wrestled in Iowa. And usually with tournaments like that, it's usually a coach maybe that has a connection to a coach at the tournament, so they go there to see new competition, but also there's a kind of like a friendly thing or a camaraderie thing to meet up with somebody. There's no connection with Waterloo, Illinois, and the coaching staff and the wrestlers there. It was just a situation where Waterloo, Illinois, 15 minutes or 15 miles east of St. Louis on the Illinois side of the river. They usually take a trip to the Chicagoland area during the season to get some competition up there. Wrestling's not real huge in the southern part of the state, according to the coach that I talked to. He's like, we really wanted to, you know, they go to Chicago because it's a little more, there's tougher competition and it's a little more serious and kind of exciting up there. There's more of a following the further north you go, but they really wanted to get into Iowa. So they had this weekend free. They reached out to kind of a regional scheduler, sounds like. He kind of had some feelers. They're like, well, this Linmar's got an opening. So they called Ryan Gatto, the co-head coach with Bo Westfall there at Linmar, said, hey, kind of like to come. Like, all right, come on up. And the neat thing about this is they went to the Iowa-Wisconsin duel on Friday. So they made it a whole trip where they came up. They watched the Iowa-Wisconsin duel at Carver-Hawkeye Arena Friday night. They stayed in Coralville, woke up in the morning, drove up to Marion and wrestled at Linmar and made it a huge experience, the trip for the guys. They said it was the first college duel that a lot of them ever watched. They were blown away by the support, not just the high school at the high school tournament, but, you know, being at Carver and seeing the crowd there. Talked to a couple of the wrestlers. I'll have to look at his last name. They have a 215 pounder who was a state runner up in Illinois last year. He's actually Jackson Mathania. He wrestled really well on Saturday at Linmar, but he's committed to Bellarmine. And of course, people will know that Bellarmine is coached by Ned Shuck, a former Iowa Hawkeye wrestler. So it was kind of a really cool experience for him to be able to see his future coach's alma mater wrestle and be able to soak in that environment. So kind of a really neat experience for them. And I was talking to Kevin McCauley, a former assistant coach at Linmar, who helps out. He does some broadcasting for Linmar Wrestling and I think helped set up the tournament a little bit. And we were talking about it, and it's something maybe we take for granted a little bit because of how important wrestling is to our culture and our state, that there are places, there are teams, there are programs that don't get the same type of support and following that wrestling teams get here. And maybe we take that for granted a little bit.
I'll echo that for sure. I mean, years ago when I was out coaching in Colorado, it's like I was starving for wrestling information and wrestling news. That's before cell phones and so forth. So, you know, I'm looking at the Denver Post and there's nothing in there. I get that 100%. There's definitely areas for sure.
So I'm going to have a notebook posted at gazette.com here pretty soon. And it's leading off with the story for the perspective from the people from the Waterloo program that came up. And I will say they were excited and they're looking forward to making another trip to Iowa again. So kudos to the folks at Linmar for helping create a really cool experience for them and being good ambassadors to the sport that they want to come back and compete another time. We'll move on. The Gary Curtis Invitational was hosted at Highland on Saturday. Al Burnett came away with a victory there, 235 points, where they beat Wilton by 12 and a half. You know, maybe that was an indication of how 1A was going to be. Of course, now I think both of those teams are in 2A. At least Al Burnett is. I thought Wilton maybe made the jump too, but they could still be in 1A. The Pirates received titles from Tyler Gerhold at 106, Atlee DeWitt at 120, Owen Henriksen at 144, 157-pounder Cooper Franklin, and heavyweight Egan Fleshman. Fleshman pinned his way through the bracket and only wrestled a combined 2 minutes and 50 seconds. So a dominant performance from the sophomore heavyweight. He's 25-1. Right now, and his only loss is the Lincoln Jip of Bettendorf, who's a North Carolina recruit. So an outstanding season so far for Fleshman.
Right, and Wilton, who was second, equaled Al Burnett's champion total with five as well.
So good showing there for the Beavers. Ottumwa had that big tournament this weekend as well. We had a pretty good representation there from Iowa City West, if I remember correctly.
Right. I'm going to go back just one other comment about the Highland. I don't know if you noticed, 144, Drew Anderson from Riverside, Oakland. Is that Riverside, Oakland? Beat Liam Adelfinger from Wilton 10-9 in the finals there. Remember Adelfinger's claim to fame for his title, who he beat?
Yeah, beat Hayden Schwab or Hendrick Schwab. Hayden Schwab.
Yep, in the finals. So, I mean, that's a pretty nice win from Drew Anderson there. Oh, so anyway, sure. Down to the Ottumwa Invitational. Iowa City West was there. There's 24 teams, and it's a two-day tournament. I don't have the point totals for the teams, but Iowa City West won it with like 630-some points or something. North Scott was second. And to interrupt me when you get the point total. Curry was third. Council Bluffs Lincoln was fourth. Loisa Muscatine fifth. Liberty was seventh. And CPU was 10th. And champions, local champions, Iowa City West walked away with four champs. That did a good showing. First was 113 Diego Roberty. And then Alexander Pierce at 120, is he? 120?
Yes.
126.
Anyway, 126. He's at 126 now.
Yeah. And then Blessed Woods, 157. And so they had two freshman champs there. And then Caden Stitt, who we saw these guys wrestle last week at 285. And remember my comment how athletic I thought he was? He
did. Yeah.
He won that. And then, and so to win this, and actually, a lot of kids got eight matches. Champions probably had seven, but some of those guys on the backside had eight matches in those 2 days. That's a lot. Prairie had a champ, and I bet you can guess who. You did a nice article on him.
Chase Watkinson.
Chase Watkinson at 120 was Prairie's champ. And then CPU, that's why I mentioned them at the 10th. They had a champ in Caden Steinkamp at 132. So
wow,
good showing with our local guys.
Yeah, and you mentioned the point totals. Iowa City West was 636.5 points, four more than North Scott. Then Prairie was third with 425.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy talking about totals like that, but when you're wrestling that many matches and you have that big of a field, I get it.
Yeah. I honestly think it's too much wrestling, but I'm old school.
Well, yeah. I mean, eight in 2 days like that, or, you know, yeah. That's that can really wear and tear on a person's body. Any other now, did you mention the Anamosa tournament?
I did not go there yet. The Anamosa Girls 12-team tournament. It's still very, very competitive, but it got a little easier because Cedar Falls started up their team or their tournament this year.
Okay.
Cedar Falls used to attend the Anamosa. when they left, it softened it up just a bit. Still not soft. But anyway, Prairie was the champ there, and second was Decorah. Prairie had 229. Decorah had 170.5. Third was Jefferson with 170. We talked about it so many times, KJ. Every point matters.
Yes.
One more point there, and Jefferson second over Decorah. So, and then fourth was Independence. Fifth was Iowa City High. And sixth was Mount Vernon. So champs for Prairie were Marie Burns at 105, 130 Marley Payton. And at heavyweight 235, Emily Reyes. And then for Decorah, at 100, Sophie Adams. At 145, Lauren Luzum. And at 170, Anna Simon. And for Jefferson, they had one champ in Josephine Budadera. We've heard that name a lot through the last couple of years, right?
That's for sure.
Independence had a champion in 115-pounder, Sophia Hurley. And then City High had a champ in Shauna Emanuel at 155. Mount Vernon had a champ in Kirsten Swart at 110. And then I also mentioned Iowa Valley. Marengo had a champ in Skylar Hoyt at 125. And Anamosa had a champ, home team Casey Frommel at 190.
So good tournament up there at Inamosa. Just want to make a reference here with the state dual rankings. We kind of talked a little bit about that, but there's some interesting things of note. Like you mentioned, we saw Iowa City West against Xavier last Thursday. Was very impressed, especially with that infusion of young talent with Roberti at 113, Owen Cothey in the middleweights at 44-50, Blessed Woods at 157 to go along with the likes of Alexander Pierce. Charlie Barnhouse is back for them. Campbell Janis, and you mentioned the heavyweight Caden Snitt, who was very athletic. They've moved up to fifth in the Class 3A duels. So you've got Southeast Polk, Dowling, Indianola, Dallas Center Grimes, Iowa City West, Waukee Northwest, Dubuque Hempstead, who we'll see Thursday at Iowa City High. And then Bettendorf 8, Linmar up to 9th, Pleasant Valley 10th. The other area teams outside of the top 10 in the rankings, Western Dubuque drops to number 15. Cedar Rapids Prairie at 16th. And that that concludes it for upper Eastern Iowa in 3A, even though I think you could see some teams like Clear Creek Amana maybe sneak into one of those last 20 to 24 spots if they keep wrestling the way they did last weekend. In Class 2A, there's a new number one, Decorah. We've talked about Decorah here recently, just about keep an eye on them, and they've moved to number one in the Class 2A rankings ahead of Clarion, Goldfield, Dowse, Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont, and then there's a lot of area representation. Independence is fourth. West Delaware is fifth, which means we could have a doozy on our hands a week from Thursday when those two teams tangle for the Del Buck Trophy. Albernette is sixth. Davenport Assumption, seventh. Sergeant Bluff Luton, eighth. Shout out to Clint Kudum, college teammate there. Algona, ninth, and North Fayette Valley is 10th. excuse me for 1 second. I guess I'll just finish the rest of the 2A area teams. Mount Vernon is 12th. Williamsburg and Solon at 17th and 18th. Anamosa is 21st. West Liberty is 23rd. Your thoughts there, Coach?
I think 2A is wide open. You can really put anyone in there. You know, with Decorah in there now, they're – and maybe that's how it'll end up. But that's going to be fun to watch, that 2A state tournament and state duels, see how those shake out.
Yeah, we talked about Wilton at Highland. They're number 19 as well there in 2A. So
some really – With Albernette and Wilton bumping up from 1A to 2A, it makes Don Bosco the opportunity to break the record even more potential, I guess.
But, yeah, and don't forget Osage. Osage was a team that had dropped down to 1A for a short bit, now back up to 2A as well. So really is a two-horse race, if you can even count. I mean – no disrespect to Jessup, who's number two, and they've got a heck of a lineup. But I think it's definitely Don Bosco. Then there's a gap before you get to Jessup, and I think another gap between the rest of the field in 1A.
Right.
And, of course, those are our top two ranked teams in 1A. Then you've got Woodbury Central, Lake Mills, Hinton, Lisbon, Oakland Riverside, Logan Magnolia, West Sioux, and Nottoway Valley in the top 10. Other than that, the only other area schools are South Wind at number 15. You've got Iowa Valley and North Lynn at 20, 21, and then Belle Plaine at 22. And that's that's it as far as the 1A teams go in the rankings. But, you know, really impressed to see Decorah move ahead. A big jump for Iowa City West. Southeast Polk, a big favorite in 3A. And then Don Bosco, you know, really cementing. It seems silly to even say that because I think everybody knew exactly how dominant Don Bosco would be, could be, and they're just taking care of business, really.
Right. Yep. And then especially last night. but everywhere they go, it seems.
Strong wins against Dowling, who we mentioned, you know, where they're sitting in 3A. I think they won the Mendenhall. Or no, they got second behind Aurora, Merriman, at the Mendenhall in Ames. So, you know, Dowling's very, very good, and Don Bosco came away with a win there. So, and Creighton Prep, everybody knows the history with Creighton Prep. Want to take a look at this coming up weekend, unless you have any thoughts from last week that you want to hit on.
Nope. Got some nice area tournaments in Jefferson, Solon, and Marion for sure.
Yep. Right here in the Metro, you got the Jayhawk Invitational at Jefferson. The field there includes Alburnett, Bondurant, Farrar, Boone, Cedar Falls, the host Jayhawks. Can you finish out the field there?
You bet. The local teams are Alburnett, Center Point Urbana, and City High, and of course Jefferson. And then some of the stronger teams at the Jayhawk: Dallas Center Grinds, Fort Dodge, Pleasant Valley, West Des Moines Valley, Waukee Northwest, Bondurant Farrar, who has been an up and coming team in 3A for sure. When I was building this tournament through the years, I always wanted to get a really eclectic group of schools that were from all over the place, and so that schools were excited to come in to wrestle because they're not wrestling the same school. So there's not a lot of Mississippi Valley teams in there for that reason, and they kind of held that course of action, I guess, since I've left. So anyway,
and it's been that way. I mean, they've really produced a lot of really neat matches because of that. What you've done with the eclectic group of teams that come down there. It's one of my favorites.
Yep. And then Solon, the Ed Haydenfeld tournament has 14 teams. The local teams are Clear Creek Urbana, Iowa City Liberty, Lisbon, Vinton-Shelsburg, West Branch, West Liberty, North Cedar. So that's not necessarily a 3A school in there, but a couple of them. And then some of the 2A and 1As in there. So,
On this week, you know, Marion, the Lloyd Schaefer Marion Invitational, named after the late former Marion coach. They always have a nice field that has teams from different classes. Among the Metro teams there, you've got Cedar Rapids Xavier, Cedar Rapids Kennedy, and Marion, of course. And then you've got, you know, 2A schools like Benton Community, Grinnell, Maquoketa, Williamsburg. Wilton is there as well. We talked about them. And then in 1A, Jessup. You know, they're going to be a trophy contender in Class 1A. They've got some outstanding individuals, including Carver and Cooper Hines. You know, North Lynn has had a really good season so far. They've been one of the bright spots as far as Class 1A teams go. Benton Community is there. I think I mentioned that with the 2A schools. And then they've got some, you know, Atlantic is coming from out west. And then you've got Oakley High School from Kansas in the field. So a really diverse and strong field there at Marion.
Yep, and I want to make sure we mention Springville. who will be there. Is this their first or second year?
I think it's their second year, kind of second or third year, really being dependent.
Okay.
Or independent.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yep. So let me make sure we mention Springville as well. So they're trying to build.
Yeah, because they've had some better numbers. We mentioned that I think earlier in the season that at one of the tournament they almost had half a lineup and stuff. Might have been at their own tournament where they you're able to see their numbers. So hopefully that keeps growing for them out in Springville. The Osage duels were this weekend as well. Keep an eye on that one, because there's a really strong 2A grouping there where you've got Decorah, Independence. That's 1-4 in the rankings. Then you've got Osage, which is right outside of the top 10. I think they're 11th. You got Quezon Manterville from Minnesota coming down. That's a perennial power in Minnesota. Assumption is there. Ankeny Centennial, along with the host Green Devils. So that's going to be one to really kind of get a good gauge of where exactly some of those top teams are, because there'll be some battles there in Osage.
Right. Osage always has a strong program. And then to round out the other metro schools, Sioux Rapids Washington is up at Cascade at their Invitational, and then at Ankeny, Linmar and Prairie will be battling at the Ankeny Invitational.
All right. Any other items or anything that you want to touch on before we say goodbye tonight?
I think we're good. Yep.
All right. Where are you going to be this weekend? Are you doing any officiating?
Hopefully it's not as long as last week. I was up at West Marshall and it was 12 and a half hours, including the weigh-in. And that was way too long. So I'm at, that was a girls tournament on two mats. And then I'm at West Branch, another girls tournament at West Branch this weekend.
Okay. All right. As I mentioned, we'll be at Hempstead and City High on Thursday. And then I will be at the Jefferson Jayhawk Invitational right in my own backyard here to watch that. Really looking forward to seeing some high-quality individuals. You know, Deshaun Ross, Albernett will be there. Should be a fun day over at Jefferson.
Right. And I would call Ross the probably the number one top wrestler in Iowa this year, coming out of Iowa this
year. Oh, for sure. The Oklahoma State commit. So he's been dominant for sure, as many people expected. And he has been for a while now.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, hey, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and following us again. We really appreciate you giving us this platform to be able to talk and highlight the sport of wrestling at the high school level. Just like to thank you for watching. And as always, we'll head out with the lines from our late friend, Wyatt Schultz.
Let's keep wrestling on the move.
Support local journalism and enjoy full access to the Green Gazette digital edition with a print subscription. Subscribe today at thegazette.com/subscribe.